Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. If you have just joined us, welcome to Radio Islam International. Welcome to the program Socially Speaking. Alhamdulillah. Well, listeners, this is going to be my last program for this year. So the next program, inshallah, will be in the early parts of January 2016, inshallah. So this is the last Socially Speaking program for the year. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Well, we commence our program this morning with Monday morning focus, as we normally do. And this morning, alhamdulillah, I once again have the pleasure of speaking to internationally acclaimed and award-winning author, Sister Naima B. Robert from the UK. Alhamdulillah. Well, as you know, I don't know if listeners will listening to us last month, but we did speak to her about her myedda.com website that she created, alhamdulillah, and also the launch of a new book of poetry. It is called Catch Me. Alhamdulillah, once again, she has launched a brand new website, and this time it's the Sisters Magazine website, of which she is the founding editor, alhamdulillah, and it's www.sisters-magazine.com for those that would like to, go onto this website, alhamdulillah. We will be talking to her about this website in a few moments. Of course, immediately thereafter, I'll be speaking to Mulana Muhammad Venka, inshallah. Today, our topic of discussion is peaceful coexistence. A very, very important and a very pertinent topic that we will be discussing, inshallah. But for now, we're going to be crossing over to Sister Naima Robert. Assalamu alaikum, jazakallahu khair for joining me this morning.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. It's always a pleasure to be here with you. Jazakallahu khair.
Alhamdulillah. And it's wonderful to be talking to you again, and I hope, inshallah, we will be getting you on more next year. At least on a monthly basis, we'll be speaking to you, inshallah, if that is all right with you, obviously.
Yeah, that would be wonderful, mashallah.
Inshallah. Okay, now, I'm sure you're very, very tired, maybe, and you were very, very busy for these last few weeks. The last that I spoke to you, you had just launched the book called Catch Me, your book of poetry, mm-hmm. and also the idda.com. So that was quite a bit of work that you had to be putting in again to have the new launch of the Sisters Magazine website, alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. I mean, we've got a fantastic team, mashallah, from the editors and the writers from Sisters Magazine itself to the tech team and designers from my late husband's company, Emerging Media. And basically, they just worked really, really hard to design a website that reflects Sisters Magazine identity and that makes it a pleasurable and easy, navigatable, place, mm-hmm. Platform for us to showcase our articles. So I'm just really, really excited that, mashallah, the content that's been being produced for the past however many years, since 2007, is finally going to be available for free online on a platform that welcomes everyone.
Mm-hmm. Alhamdulillah. Well, before we go on to the website itself, could you perhaps, just for the benefit of our listeners, maybe for myself too, tell us a little more about the Sisters Magazine. Give us some background to that, please.
Sure, I'd love to. I started Sisters Magazine with another sister, Zakaria, and we did that in 2007 after visiting South Africa. If some of your listeners may remember, I was brought by Channel Islam for a tour, mm-hmm. with a book from my sister's lips, and we went to Joburg, and we were in Durban, and we went to Cape Town as well. And during that tour, one of the things that ladies kept saying to me was, the story is so inspirational, your talk was so inspirational. So when I got home, I wanted to know how we could continue that discussion, how we could continue sharing the inspiration and, these real stories that we were really connecting with. And so I had a couple of different ideas, but the one that I settled with was a glossy magazine for fabulous Muslim women, a magazine for women to talk about their lives, for Muslim women to celebrate and analyze their lives in a holistic way, in a way that was open and accepting, yet Islamic. And so we started that in 2007. It was online. And then we went into print, and I think a couple of years later we actually had, you know, South African copies as well being distributed there. I think that lasted for maybe a year or so. And then, you know, since then we've been quarterly, then we've been monthly in a small format, then we went big in monthly format. And we, mashallah, we've been through a lot of different iterations, let me say. And so the decision to go online really was something prompted by the current climate, which is that, you know, everything is accessible online. People are used to reading online. And the current economic climate means that many, many women cannot afford to subscribe to a magazine like Sisters because it just costs too much. Mm-hmm. You know, so I didn't want the message of Sisters to be held back by economic factors. I feel the message is something that should reach every sister. And so the content being online for me is just like a dream come true for me.
Alhamdulillah. Well, mashallah, I have had a look at your beautifully laid out, also very interesting looking website. Mashallah, it's, you know, something, it's very catching to me. It's, I find it very easy to read. Lots to see, lots to, you know, read, and also lots to hear about. Mashallah, you know. So tell us more about how you actually got this website up and running.
Well, what we decided to do was firstly to sort of think, okay, well, how do we want the website to be used? And we want the website to be dynamic so that, you know, you every day you're thinking, I wonder what's on Sisters Magazine. I wonder what's happening on Sisters Magazine. You know, which articles are they showcasing now? Which topics are going to be coming up this week? You know, we do twice a month we do a live online video interview with different people. We did one with the Muslim Travel Girl a couple of weeks ago. Coming up on this Monday, we're going to be speaking to Sister Fatima from Spiritual Biz Moms about dealing with divorce and moving on from divorce. So we've got video, we've got audio, and then we've got the actual articles themselves. And what we did with the articles was basically use the sections from the magazine to lay the website out. So we've got inspiration section, which is all about you know, reflecting on Allah's creation, on Allah's signs, on inspirational women, either from the past or from, you know, the present. Also people's own inspirational narratives that they're able to share, you know, in that section. And then the self section is really about your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and yourself. Mm-hmm. So ilmi articles, dini articles that are to do with knowledge per se, you find them in the self section, as well as wellness and health, self-esteem, you know, anything to do with you growing as an individual and as a person, you'll find in the self section. Mm-hmm. Then you've got the family section, which now you can see it's sort of radiating outwards. So it's your relationship with your spouse, with your children, you know, with in-laws, with your parents, you know, extended family, etc. And then in the world section, we're looking now wider than that to the local community and the global community. So we're looking more at global issues, more political issues, more you know, environmental issues. We'll find them in the world section. And then voices, which is original poetry, original prose, and also, you know, when people want to have a rant about something and are upset about something, then, you know, they publish a soapbox, we put it in the voices section. And then, of course, we have to have looks, which is fashion and decor, and tastes, which is basically food and travel.
Mm-hmm. Well, actually, talking about that, you know, I found those, that content or content page, or rather, you know, for the website, obviously, it's called tabs. I found those tabs actually very exciting and very different from the normal, you know, the normal content pages that you would certainly get. You know, what actually made you change those and make them so different from the rest?
We just wanted it to be different. We know at Sisters and in general in my work, I've always tried to raise the bar. I've always tried to set myself a high standard, because I believe that as Muslims we should strive for excellence, and if we're going to do something, we should try to do it with ihsan, meaning in two ways. Ihsan meaning sincerity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and ihsan meaning excellence and of the highest standard. And so, you know, when we put the magazine together, we didn't want the, you know, the website to be, and you know, with the magazine actually, at the time when we released Sisters Magazine, there was very little that was beautiful and inspiring for Muslim women. A lot of these, even just to do with the book covers, you know, the websites, everything was quite bland, was quite drab. And we wanted Sisters to be a wow magazine. You know, we wanted it to be glossy. We wanted the design to be, you know, rich in color, lots of images, you know, lots of pictures. Mashallah, we established that style, so people know us for that style. So alhamdulillah, when we wanted to translate that into a website, we've got mashallah fantastic designers at Emerging Media, and you know, they were able to translate that into a website that has the Sisters' character, and the Sisters' color, and the Sisters', you know, that boldness. And I hope it comes through on the website, but your listeners will have to go on and see for themselves, inshallah.
Yes, definitely. And I would encourage our listeners out there to really go out and you know, look at this. Although I didn't go through everything on the website, I was just looking at it. And, you know, it was late last night when I actually was sitting with this website, and I said, oh, my God, I wish I had more time. You
know?
And you don't want to put it down because you just want to continue looking at what's next kind of thing.
So excellent. Thank you so much.
It's a beautiful website, and I think every sister out there, you know, if you have the means, then please go out and have a look at this wonderful website, mashallah. It's so inspiring, and you would want to really, like I said, to me it is very catching, you know. You want to see more, and you want to know more about it.
Wonderful.
Alhamdulillah. You know, with regards to the website, will the website and the magazine have the same content, or you know, is there obviously it is a bit different, but with regards to the writings?
Okay. Basically, what we've done is we've paused the print magazines sort of for the next year or so, because we have about 73 issues of the magazine. So that's a lot of content, and I know, because my job was basically to go through, and it still is, to go through those older issues and pick out the gems to put on the website. Mm-hmm. So we have a lot of content that we want to share, you know, with our sisters internationally, because most people, even if they've heard of Sisters Magazine, have never actually seen a copy or been able to put their hands on a copy and have a copy. So literally, it's as fresh as the day that it was published. So I said, forget this. We're not going to let it rot in a warehouse somewhere. We're going to choose the very best from those issues and put it out there for everybody to be able to read and comment on. You can share it via social media. You know, you can link it with your other, you know, social media profiles, etc. You can just sign in, you know, just comment through your Facebook. We try to make it as intuitive as possible. In terms of the content, because we're not producing new copies of print magazines, there won't be any overlap for now. But the website has fresh content as well. So we actually are producing new articles that were never in the magazine, especially for the website. And of course, the video and audio content is all new, and that's on the website as well.
Alhamdulillah. Now, can you subscribe to a newsletter from the website to keep our sisters updated? And talking about updated, I think you did mention it earlier, but just perhaps for listeners that, you know, if somebody didn't hear this, how often will the, you know, the contents of the website be updated?
Okay, well, fantastic question. Thank you. There is a space, there's actually a couple of different calls to sign up to our newsletter on the homepage. So certainly you can sign up for the newsletter. The newsletter goes out to every week. We send something out, but the newsletter proper goes out every couple of weeks. And there we basically talk about the highlights of the site and anything else that's happening in the Sisters Magazine world. So in the Sisters world, if we've got, you know, a big competition coming up, then you'll hear about it then. If we've got an interview coming up or a new video on the site, or we're asking people to submit things, that will be in the newsletter. So it's our way of staying in contact, really, with, you know, with all our readers and all our listeners. So there's the newsletter. And then as far as the – what was the second question you asked me? Now I've forgotten the question.
You know, obviously, well, if you can subscribe, and of course, how often will it be updated?
Ah, yes, thank you. The website, we refresh the homepage every other day. complete change of like new articles going up is twice a month. Mm-hmm. So basically each section, the number of articles just keeps growing and growing and growing. So if you come to join us sort of next month, end of next month, you'll find that you have content from the past 4 weeks, 8 weeks actually, since we started in the beginning of November. So the content is always changing on the homepage, and the whole thing is we put whole new content onto the website once a month, but of course the old content is still there. So you'll be able to see new stuff on the homepage every month. When you go on there, the whole homepage will be completely changed, completely different. But twice a month we also move things around within the homepage so that new things are being highlighted. So we're trying to keep it as dynamic as possible. And literally, what I'm trying to do is to make it so that, you know, when people, you know, wake up in the day, or they're having coffee, or they're just having a break, they think to themselves, what's happening on sistersmagazine.com today? You know, what should I dip into? And come over and have a look and see what we're doing, inshallah.
Mm-hmm. And this launch, just as a matter of interest, very quickly, you know, how did you go about this launch? How long does it take for one to actually come up with a website like this and then launch it? And do you think that this was a successful launch, alhamdulillah?
Well, I think that, you know, in terms of the actual website, the designer, the main designer, Abdurrahman, he didn't take very long to put it together, because I think he got the sister's aesthetic very quickly. So, you know, he designed it, you know, within the space of, you know, 2 weeks, I think. Yeah. And then, mashallah, what they did was the coders and the designers, they went away for the weekend. They had a hackathon on the weekend, and they basically coded the whole website over the weekend. And then after that, it was basically a lot of back and forth with the editors and myself and the tech team to just make it as perfect as possible, as close to perfect as we could make it. And then we started adding articles from the beginning of November. So for all of us, it's a learning curve, because, you know, we're used to editing articles to go into a print magazine. And so my editors, Brooke and Rahana, they was their first time, you know, preparing articles for something that's online. So it was, you know, a few growing pains here and there, a few teething problems, but it took us about maybe 2 weeks to get all the content that we wanted on. And to be honest, we're still learning. So in terms of the launch, we were ready for the 26th, which is when we wanted it to go live and really invite people to come on. And I was on Islam Channel in the UK, the TV, mm-hmm. Talking about it and inviting people on and, you know, sharing the story of the website. And alhamdulillah, even before we launched, we were getting, you know, thousands of reads a day. Even before we launched, alhamdulillah. And there's actually one article on the site, which is, I think it's 10 tips from the Sunnah for beating depression. Mm. Last I looked, which was last week, we had 3,500 reads of just that article alone. It's one of the most popular articles on the site. And that's from us doing no publicity at all. We hadn't done anything. We just put in the magazine that we're going online. And so we had people, organic traffic. So if people are, you know about how Google, etc. works, people searching for different topics would be shown Sisters Magazine website and would come on without us advertising or sort of, you know, encouraging them to come with anything. Just organic traffic. And that's a really amazing thing, mashallah, because it's the best type of traffic. When you've got something that people are looking for, and then they come onto your site and they get what they're looking for, this is just amazing. Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. Well, Sister Naima, I think it's very important that you share the address of this website with our listeners. And, you know, I must commend you on a wonderful, wonderful, you know, website. It's something that you really want to, you know, really go out and look for more.
That's fantastic. Well, just for all the listeners out there, the website is www.sisters-magazine.com. Very simply, even if you search Sisters Magazine in Google, it will come up. You can link us on our Facebook page. You can follow us on Instagram. You can also follow us on Twitter and on LinkedIn. You can link with us. We are much more active now on social media than we were ever before. And we look forward to just meeting all the new readers, and we look forward to welcoming them on the website and, you know, feeling free to comment and get in touch if they've got something that they want to write. It really is your platform. It's a platform for the sisters. And it's always been about the sisters, but now, alhamdulillah, it's something that all sisters everywhere can access. And I invite them to join the sisterhood online, inshallah.
Inshallah. Well, jazakallah khair for that interview, telling us more about the website. We certainly do appreciate it. And hopefully we'll be speaking to you again in the new year. Inshallah.
Inshallah ta'ala.
Yes, we do wish you all the best with this launch of this Sisters Magazine website.
Jazakallah khairan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Well, listeners, that was Sister Naima B. Roberts from the UK talking to us about the Sisters Magazine website. And for those that are interested, and I suggest every sister out there that has a way and means of getting all of this to go onto this website. It's www.sisters-magazine.com. You'll be amazed at what you will actually find on this website, inshallah. Well, we're going to take a break right now. When we return, inshallah, we're speaking to Maulana Muhammad Venka. Our topic of discussion today is peaceful coexistence. Stay tuned. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Well, in the recent times, Islam has been portrayed in the media as a militant religion, one that promotes violence and the killing of innocent civilians. More than ever, there is a need to understand the Islamic perspective of respect for and living with others. It is imperative to voice an opinion on an issue that is of major concern to millions of people, especially for a religion that has often been targeted as a violent and extremist. What is the Quranic position on coexistence with non-Muslims? How does the Quran expect Muslims to live and interact with non-Muslims? How did the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam live and deal with non-Muslims? After all, he is the supreme exemplar in the Islamic tradition. Joining me online this morning is Maulana Muhammad Venka from KwaZulu-Natal. Assalamu alaikum, Maulana, and jazakallahu khair for joining us this morning.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and it's an absolute pleasure to be on your program, and assalamu alaikum to your esteemed listeners of Radio Islam International.
Jazakallah once again, Maulana. Now, peaceful coexistence is what we're going to be talking about, so over to you, Maulana.
Okay, barakallahu feekum. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, nahmatuhu wa nasalli ala rasulihil kareem, amma ba'd. We begin by praising Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, and we send abundance of blessings and salutations upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to his honorable household, his family, and those who follow him. Indeed, the topic of peaceful coexistence, it is a vital, it is a integral, it is a important topic, especially in this day and age, you know, when all fingers are being pointed towards Muslims. We look at journalism today, we look at the media today, you know, the biasness, you know, on the part of journalism, you know, with regards to Muslims. And unfortunately today, you know, we don't know as Muslims how to respond to this. What is the Islamic viewpoint on this, where Muslims have become the targets, where Muslims have become isolated, and Muslims have been identified, you know, in a negative light? You know, you travel the world today, somebody is dressed Islamically, you find somebody is wearing the kurta, somebody has got the beard, or you find our sisters who are donning the hijab and the niqab, you know, they are victimized, they are isolated, you have the airports, you know, people look at you differently, you are pulled aside. What is the Islamic perspective on this? How do we view this from an Islamic angle? And this is something very, very important. And just to give one example, you know, once one alim, you know, he entered into the masjid, and after he ascended the pulpit, addressing his congregants, looking at the congregation before him, he said that, my people, I've got two things to tell you today. I've got good news and I've got bad news. The good news is that we have sufficient funds to complete our masjid project, what we have anticipated. We've got sufficient funds to build our masjid. That is the good news. But the bad news is that the money is still in your pockets. We have the money, but the money is still in your pockets. In that same vein, I say that as Muslims today, we have good news and we have bad news. The good news is, as Muslims, we know we have that formula to to save the world, to rescue the world from the trials and the tribulations it is experiencing. But unfortunately, the bad news is, the character of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it is on our bookshelves. The character, it is in lectures, it is on the tongues of orators, it is in theory. So we need to take that character of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and exemplify it. I swear by Allah, if you and I as the reciters of the kalima, if we can rise up to the challenge and exhibit that exemplary character and manifest that impeccable character of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then we will show you inshallah in the light of Quran and Hadith the magnetic impact the character of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam will have on the broader world. There is one ayat kareema that appears in the 15 juz of the Quran al-Kareem, a very beautiful ayat of the Quran that puts this entire aspect into perspective. When Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says that وَقُلْ لِعِبَادِي يَقُولُ الَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنُ, that tell my servants that they must be polite in the speech when they are speaking to non-Muslims. If we study the reasons for revelation as to why this particular ayat of the Quran al-Kareem was revealed, Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu on one occasion, he had an argument with a non-Muslim. And in the interim, whilst he was speaking to this non-Muslim, he began to raise his voice. And there was a verbal altercation. Allah Ta'ala revealed this verse of the Quran al-Kareem. The ulama have written so beautifully under the commentary of this verse, that in this verse, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is exhorting us categorically that to be polite in your speech when you are speaking to non-Muslims. This is the beauty of Islam. You know, this is the beauty of Islam. Through the ages, we lived with non-Muslims, we interacted with them, they prospered, they went ahead in this dunya, we coexisted. What has happened in the 21st century of this ummah? That people are looking at Muslims, or rather looking at Islam, you know, in a negative light. And I would like to make mention at this juncture, you know, there are some of those who have reverted to Islam. You know, you sit and you speak to them, and you ask them, what motivated you? What inspired you? You know, to become a Muslim. And really, the statistics, some countries of the world, the amount of people that are reverting to Islam. And we need to understand, one side is the negative agenda by the Western masters to run down Islam, to bring down Islam. But on the other hand, we find, alhamdulillah, people are embracing this beautiful religion of Islam. Like one person said it so beautifully, and this is something we need to reflect and ponder. This is food for thought. He said, I am grateful to the Almighty Allah that I was introduced to Islam before being introduced to Muslims. I am grateful to the Almighty Allah that I was first introduced to Islam before being introduced to Muslims. He said, if my first interaction would have been with Muslims, he said, it is highly unlikely I would have accepted this religion of Islam. But it is the grace of the Almighty Allah that Allah introduced me to Islam before introducing me to Muslims. When we look at Muslims today, we are far off the track. And what we are speaking about, it is the character of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You know, Abdullah bin Mubarak, he was a giant. So he had a non-Muslim neighbor. He put his house on the market. He put his house up for sale. So the non-Muslim neighbor, he demanded an exorbitant price. He asked for exorbitant price. Somebody came to him and they told him, how do you justify this? That's the market price. That's the going rate of your house. How do you demand such an exorbitant price? What did he say? Allahu Akbar. He said, half the price is for the house. And half the price is for having the privilege of being the neighbor of Abdullah bin Mubarak. Subhanallah. He said, half the price is for the house, and the other half is for the privilege of being the neighbor of Abdullah bin Mubarak. When Abdullah bin Mubarak heard this, he was humbled by this kind gesture. He comes to his non-Muslim neighbor, and he said, how about me giving you the invitation to Islam? The non-Muslim neighbor, who he assumed was a non-Muslim, he tells Abdullah bin Mubarak that your character made me a Muslim the day you moved next to me. Subhanallah. Your character sister made me embrace Islam the day you moved next to me. This is the question we need to ask ourselves. You and I, who are ambassadors to this beautiful religion of Islam, respected listeners, if we cannot become ambassadors to this beautiful religion of Islam, let us not become an obstacle and a hurdle for others to come into this beautiful religion of Islam.
Alhamdulillah. So basically, you know, we have to think about this ourselves. Look at ourselves first, you know, before we say and do anything. If we need to change the way we are as Muslims, to become better Muslims, alhamdulillah. Malana, how did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam deal with non-Muslims? How did he live with non-Muslims?
Okay, just to cite one or two examples that come to mind. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, one day he is walking, and with him was Ali bin Abi Talib radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Suddenly, after a few moments, there was a person who came to the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he was mounted on his conveyance. And he appeared to be a Bedouin. Now, if you study the lives of Bedouins, you know, their nomadic existence, they lack culture, they lack mannerism and conduct. He comes to the Prophet of Allah, and he said that I have invited my people to Islam. They have accepted my message, and I have promised them material prosperity. However, by the will of Allah, they have been gripped by famine and drought. He said, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I fear it must not happen because of that famine and drought that these people must leave the fold of Islam. He said, do you have any material wealth in your possession? Give it to me. Perhaps I could rescue them through this material aid. So Nabi alayhi salam asked Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, O Ali, do we have anything in our possession? He said, O Nabi of Allah, the funds are depleted. We've got absolutely nothing. So Nabi alayhi salam, as he's talking to Ali bin Abi Talib, suddenly there was a Jewish man, Zayd ibn Sohna. He comes to the Nabi of Allah. He was a Jewish rabbi. And he said, O Muhammad, I see you are in need of finance, of material assistance. I can lend you some money for a period of time on condition that you pay me back in the form of dates. Nabi alayhi salam said, brilliant. He took the money, they settled upon a date, upon the date upon which Nabi alayhi salam agreed to pay him back in the form of dates. This Zayd ibn Sohna, he left. Nabi alayhi salam took the money, he gave it to this Bedouin, and he said, take this money, give it to your people, and distribute. Perhaps you can keep them within the fold of Islam. One day prior to the scheduled payment date, this Zayd ibn Sohna, this Jewish rabbi, he comes to the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he harshly grabs the Nabi of Allah, and he begins demanding his money. Umar radiallahu ta'ala becomes upset. He looks at this person and he said, are you speaking to the Nabi of Allah in this manner? Do you realize who you are speaking to? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he did not argue the logistics that, you know what, I still have one day to settle this debt. Nabi alayhi salam called Umar one side. And he said, Umar, this is not how we deal with situations. You should have been more wise in your approach. Nabi alayhi salam, he told Umar, because of your attitude, go and pay this Jew his money. And not only pay him, but give him an added amount because of your harshness. Umar radiallahu anhu said, my blood was gushing. I was upset that a man speaks to my Nabi like this. I gave him the money. This Jew looks at me and he said, Ata'arifuni, Umar, do you know who am I? I said, I don't know you. He said, I am Zayd ibn Sohna, the Jewish rabbi. Umar said, you are a Jewish rabbi. You belong to the fraternity. You're not a rabbi. And this is how you speak to the Nabi of Allah. Listen to this, respected listeners. He said, oh, Umar, let me tell you, listen to me carefully. I have studied the biography of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I have closely monitored the movements of Nabi alayhi salam. And I say beyond doubt, he is the final prophet of Allah. I had reservations in two qualities, and that was the forbearance of the Prophet of Allah. I have come to test the patience and the forbearance of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, Umar, after testing the Nabi of Allah, I have read in the divine scriptures that the final Prophet that will come, the more you incite him, the more calm he becomes. The more you provoke him, the more composed he becomes. He said, Omar, I don't want 1 cent. Keep the money. I have accepted Islam. And not only that, I don't want 1 cent from you or the Nabi of Allah. Half my money for Islam. I make you my witness. Half the wealth I own, I give it to the Nabi of Allah and I give it to Islam. What did it take to convince this man about the beauty of Islam? It was the tolerance. It was the patience of the Nabi of Allah. Hassan radiallahu ta'ala anhu, one day he's walking in a garden and he sees a beggar, a slave, sitting on the floor, and he was feeding a dog, feeding an animal. We as Muslims, we respect the life of a Muslim, we respect the life of a non-Muslim. Nay, we respect the life of animals. Human life is beloved to us. Hassan radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he sees the slave sitting on the floor and feeding a dog. There was one slice of bread that was left. The slave took the slice of bread, he broke it in two, he gave half to the dog, he had eaten the other half. Hassan radiallahu anhu becomes so impressed. He goes to the slave and he says, tell me, who is your master? He said, Affan bin Usman. And he said, tell me, whose garden is this? He said, this belongs to my master. Hassan radiallahu anhu, he goes to the master, Affan bin Usman. And he said, tell me, is that your slave? He said, yes. And that garden, it belongs to me. Hassan radiallahu anhu asked the master, how much do you want for the slave and the garden? He said, I want an X amount. Hassan radiallahu ta'ala gives him the money. He comes back to the slave and he said, listen, I was so impressed. You know, on the grounds of your generosity, you were hungry. You could have eaten the slice of bread, but you have seen the hunger in the eyes of that animal. Hassan radiallahu ta'ala asked him, what motivated you? What caused you to do what you have done? He said, I swear by Allah, I had seen hunger in the eyes of that dog. I said, how can I eat when there's an animal that is next to me that is hungry? Hassan radiallahu ta'ala tells the slave that, listen, I have purchased you from your slave, from your master, and hence I liberate you. This garden, I have purchased this garden from your master, and I give it to you. Respected listeners, you tell me who then will not accept this beautiful religion of Islam. What I am saying is peaceful coexistence. How we deal with others, how we speak to them, it is the character of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that won people's hearts over to Islam. It was that character, like Imam Shafi'i used to say, you know, so beautifully. He said, وَقَدْ مَاتَ قَوْمٌ وَمَا مَاتَتْ مَكَارِمُهُمْ وَعَاشَ قَوْمٌ وَهُمْ فِي النَّاسِ أَمْوَاتُ. He says, some people have physically died, but their character has kept them alive. Some people are physically alive, but their character has killed them before they are physically died. What beautiful words. So really, respected listeners, there are multitudes of examples during the compilation of ahadith that elucidate and allude to this particular theory. And that is when we imbibe the character of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You know, I read an article some years ago. There was a young girl, a revert woman to Islam, and she was living in the United Kingdom, and she was victimized, she was harassed. Why? Because of her hijab. What did she say? She said, this hijab of mine has given me such honor. She says, I will tolerate being harassed and victimized, but I will never give up this beautiful teaching of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
Inshallah, alhamdulillah. Yes, and unfortunately these days we have this attitude of an eye for an eye, which, you know, obviously is not the way Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us and the way he lived, and that is definitely not what Islam teaches us. Yes, Mulana. Finally, for the benefit of our listeners, and I know for all the Muslims out there, how can we, as simply as possible, become ambassadors to Islam? Because that is so important.
Absolutely. This is a beautiful question, and this is the question that many people are asking. I think to answer this question, let us go to the teachings of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There was one Sahabi by the name of Alqama bin Harith. It's a lengthy incident that has been recorded in the books of Ahadith, where he, at the time of accepting Islam, he came to the Nabi of Allah, and he said that we possess 15 qualities in us. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam heard these qualities, Nabi alayhi sallam became so impressed. He became so impressed that Nabi alayhi sallam said that these qualities that you possess, you know, these are those qualities that are found in the prophets of Allah. These are the purest of my insight. You know, I always say that at times when we study the pagan era prior to the advent of Islam, many of them had certain qualities that even the modern day world cannot match those qualities that were found in the pagan Arabs prior to Islam. What did he tell the Nabi of Allah? He said, in the time of Jahiliyyah, we had five qualities. Five we had heard from you, five we heard from your companions, and five we have inherited from our ancestry. Listen to this, he said, number one, Ashukru inda raqa, gratefulness in moments of prosperity. Gratefulness in moments of prosperity, not pride and arrogance, which unfortunately has destroyed us. Gratefulness. Number two, wasabru inda al-bala, patience in moments of difficulties. Number three, wasidqu fi mawatin al-liqa, to be honest and to be transparent when we are dealing with Muslims or non-Muslims alike. Your character will invite people into this beautiful religion of Islam. So to be honest in our dealings when we deal with Muslims, non-Muslims alike. Number four, وَالرَّضَى بِمُرِّ الْقَضَى, happiness on the bitter choices of fate. Happiness on the bitter decisions of fate. And number five, وَتَرْكِ الشَّمَاتَةَ بِالْمُصِيبَةِ إِذَا حَلَّتْ بِالْأَعْدَاءِ. Never dare to rejoice on the tragedy of your enemy, never mind your own brother. What did Nabi alayhi salam say? Allahu Akbar. He said a person who dies whilst acquiring the sciences of Islam, Allah will give him the reward one below that of a prophet. Subhanallah. The person who dies whilst acquiring the sciences of Islam, Allah will give you the rank one below that of the prophet. However, when it came to character, when it came to a trader, a honest businessman who fears Allah in his dealings, when you deal with anyone, keep your intentions clear. What did Nabi alayhi salam say? At-tajir as-saduq al-ameen, a trustworthy, a honest businessman. You will not be below that of the prophets. You will be on par with the prophets on Qiyamah Day. So really, this is something very, very important, you know, to coexist with non-Muslims, to prove to them, you know, our character, those that are working for us, our neighbors, you know, those who are living in the, you know, in the suburbs where we are living, have we shown them the beauty of Islam? You know, the negative perception and image that is out there, that is portrayed by the media, by journalism, that Islam is a very oppressive religion. Islam is a religion that promotes violence, that promotes killings. I swear by Allah, if Islam is shown in the true sense of the word, Islam is the religion that was not spread through the sword, but Islam was spread through the noble conduct of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which he himself displayed, and he brought his sahaba upon the akhlaq.
Alhamdulillah, yes, Mulana, inshallah, you know, we make dua that Allah Ta'ala, you know, change our ways for the better only, alhamdulillah. And unfortunately, Mulana, we've come to the end of our program today, and this will also be the last program for this year that we're doing, but I hope, inshallah, to have you back with us next year so we can continue sharing wonderful information with our listeners out there.
Jazakallahu khairan for the opportunity, and we make dua to the Almighty Allah. Allah Ta'ala accept the little sacrifice on our side. Allah Ta'ala make it a means of our emancipation. Allah Ta'ala bring about unity in the world. Allah Ta'ala, you know, protect Muslims wherever they are, and they are suffering in different parts of the world. Like we had mentioned, the solution lies within the teachings of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And like I always say, I mentioned it in my opening comments, unfortunately today this character, it is in lectures, it is on our bookshelves, it is in recordings, unity is in our pockets. So inshallah, let us manifest that true character of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If Allah grants us life, inshallah, we'll meet again. And we would like to thank you, Sister Zinat, for granting us this opportunity, you know, to be part of this program. Jazakallahu khairan.
Jazakallahu khair to you, Mawlana, for all the wonderful advices that you share with our listeners out there. Alhamdulillah. Well, inshallah, listeners, we will be back next year with Socially Speaking. That will be in the new year, so I think the second week in January, and we'll be back, inshallah. For all I know, well, I just like to ask our listeners to remember us in your duas, and I'm still going to be back on Wednesday to do my health program, inshallah. But for this program, we do wish you all the best. Until then, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.